was going to do some Mother's Day jokes, but you know, they're not, they're all corny. They are all corny. I won't go there. So I'm just thankful for mothers. I'm thankful for my mom and what she's done. And you can tell when she's aggravated with the kids, because she, with us growing up, because she'll start singing. She'll just start singing just so we can get out of her face and stuff. So go play somewhere. She'll just start singing. All right. We get it. Today I want to talk to you about fearless. Fearless. How many fearless mothers do we have out there? Fearless. Y'all know that Satan can't stop you, right? We know that Jesus says, you know, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against the body of Christ, the church. He can't stop you. I said, so when you know who you are, it's very difficult to become intimidated by the enemy and by people or by your circumstances. I said, it's time that you get out of your own head. You got to get out your own head. You can talk yourself out of things that God may intended to help you along your journey, to sharpen you up, and to get you to that next level. You know, the Bible says that weapons may be formed, but it's up to you on whether or not they will prosper against you. Isaiah 54 says this. This is the New Living Translation. I have created the blacksmith who fans the coal beneath the forge and makes the weapons of destruction. I have created the armies that destroy. But in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. You have to serve the Lord of the Most High to enjoy these benefits. God created all things, but you are the only one he has created in his image. Do you really believe that he made something that can actually be destroyed? His prize, creation? There's nothing that can destroy you. Nothing. And if you think about it, when you choose to lay your life down for Jesus, that's when the enemy looks like they have actually won. No one was able to stop Jesus. They couldn't kill him unless he laid his life down. Paul, they couldn't kill him. They couldn't. All the things he went through, he called it a light affliction. Imagine that. I'm going to read some of it in 2 Corinthians 11, but he called it a light affliction. In 2 Corinthians 4, says this, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. We, the church, we do not lose heart. So no matter how much time we spend on our outward appearance, getting fit, eating right, we can go to the gym 6 times a week. That outward man is going to be perishing. Now, we can slow the process up, but that outward man is perishing. But at the same time our outward man is perishing, God is renewing our inward man day by day. So we're being renewed daily. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. These light afflictions, these troubles that are presented to us daily, are really nothing to us when we understand who we are in Christ. It's really nothing. What you're going through is nothing compared to eternity. It's just a light affliction. And I'm going to share with you what Paul went through. And I wouldn't say compared to it. I'm just saying this is where he was at, because he understood his relationship with Jesus. He understood who he was. It's brief, then it's gone. From that time that Paul became a servant of God, from the time that Paul became a servant of God and until he died, he faced affliction all the time. So tomorrow you may face trouble. Tomorrow you may face some affliction. It's coming. Why? Because you're a child of God. You got a target on your back. It's coming. We don't have to complain about it. It's going to come. We know it's going to come. So when you know that trap is coming, you don't have to be concerned with it. Why? Because God's already made a way out for you. See, faith sees the things that God wants us to see. As he is, so are we. As he loves, so do we. As he speaks, we listen and obey and do what he has called us to do. Even if everything is going right in your life, fix your eyes on what's eternal. Why? Because everything in front of you is just temporary. It's just a temporary thing. My weight is temporary. But I'm believing the Lord would just melt it off. No, man, you got to put in the work. Okay? Look what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. You know, God had warned him. He had warned him. And then King Nebuchadnezzar was looking over his kingdom and was admiring at what his hands had built. And in the same time, the Lord told him, you wouldn't have that. This is what he says. He says, look at what happened, King Nebuchadnezzar. He was speaking and the voice of heaven says, the kingdom has departed from you. This is what God said. He says, the kingdom had departed from you. He was over here exalting himself. Because he didn't realize that all that things that he had, those abilities, those qualities, that came from him. That came from God. So we get caught up in the things that we can do, the things that we can say, the things that we can build, and all that stuff, and saying, look at our hands. Look at what our hands can do. And I said, that stuff is temporary. But you know what? I gave you the ability to do that. I gave you all that power. I gave you that. I gave you those thoughts. I put all that stuff in you. You wouldn't have all of that if it wasn't for God giving you all that stuff. We give honor and glory and praise to where it is due. God gets all of that. So we fix our focus on the things that are eternal, not the things that are temporary. The temporary will change. Your troubles aren't going to last always. That sickness doesn't have to be the death of you. That spirit of infirmity doesn't have to keep you all crippled up. It's not what the doctors may have said about you. It's about what Jesus has said and done. If y'all don't mind, I'm going to crank this AC down quite a bit. Do not touch that dial, please. You don't shrink back because of what happens to others. Well, they were a general of faith. Well, they were this, they were that, and they didn't listen to the doctors. I said, people, you go off of what the Word of God says. Jesus didn't say the works that they do, you'll do. He said the works that I do. Not me, him. He puts that standard on us. It's not anybody else. The Bible says, be it unto you according to your faith, right? So if your faith is to go to a doctor, go to a doctor. If your faith is to trust in God and believe in God, believe in God, believe in his word, believe in what Jesus has done for you. I'm not going to get on you because you go to a doctor. I was in a hospital for 5 weeks. 5 weeks. 5 weeks too long. Never going back. Why? Because that's not where my faith is. My faith is in his word. You don't shrink back because of what happens to others. As of June 22, there has been 1,759 athletes that have beaten the 4-minute mile. Y'all remember, who knows the guy's name that did it? Who? Bannister. Yes, he was. See, there's a lot of training that goes into that. But I guarantee you, they had a lot of people telling them, you can't do it. It can't be done. But you know what? He trained, and he trained, and he trained. And 70 years in May, this month, it's been 70 years since he's done that. That was done in 1954. And since then, there's been 1,759 athletes that have broken the 4-minute mile. But one dared to do it. Fearless living. You got to go against the grain. You got to go against what everybody else is saying about you. You got to go against what society says, what even sometimes in the body of Christ and what they say. You're going to have to go against that and follow what the Lord has told you to do. Fearless living. You can't raise those kids by yourself. What? Fearless living. Because you're not by yourself. You're with Jesus. Amen. most Christian marriages are end up in divorce, and over 50% of, hey, well, that doesn't have to be yours. Doesn't have to be yours. Fearless living. God created you to endure so much more than what is really going on in your life. No weapon that has ever been created can hurt you. So make sure you keep that battleground free, clear, uncluttered. Things that will trip you up will no longer trip you up. Faith sees the impossible. Paul had this light affliction going on in his life, and he never let it stop him from accomplishing God's will. Man, he had religious people stone him to death. And they left him for dead, drug him outside the city and left him for dead. And his disciples came and picked him up, and they went on to the next city and preached. Couldn't stop him. You die when you're ready to die. You go when you're ready to go. Nobody can take their lives. See, this is what we have to do. We have to get back to what the Word of God says rather than what other people are saying. Because a lot of times people will minister based upon their experiences. Your experience needs to line up with the Word. It's not the other way around. So the Word of God gets altered. It gets changed. Maybe God doesn't sometimes. No. He's the same. Some people let a dog stop you from getting to your destination. Sometimes when I'm going out there and I'm door dashing, I kid you not. They say, hand it to me. And then as soon as I get a rrr, 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 why? Because I know as soon as they open up the door, that dog's coming out. And that's like, okay. And I still got to deliver. Next time, leave it at the door, and I'll take a picture, and I'm going to go. But I can't let that stop me. Had one house, I get handed it to him, and I didn't even hear anything. And then he goes, hey, come back. And I turned around, there's a Doberman right there. I was like, boy, I'll tell you, that dog is going to get in a chokehold. Y'all don't understand this. I already planned this stuff out. Like, I already know what I'm going to do if something pops off. I already got it planned. My exit, this is my strategy right here. I already got it going. You got to be prepared. And if the kingdom of God is not operating in your life, then repent from what you're doing and get back in right standing with God. If you truly knew what was on the inside of you, it's the kingdom of God. So clothe yourself with his righteousness. Clothe yourself with his mercy, his grace, and his love, because you got some work to do. And 2 Corinthians 11 says this, after all, this is Paul, he's talking to, you think you are so wise, but you enjoy putting up with fools. You put up with it when someone enslaves you, takes everything you have, takes advantage of you, takes control of everything, and slaps you in the face. I'm ashamed to say that we've been too weak to do that. But whatever they dare to boast about, I'm talking like a fool again. I dare boast about it too. Oh, so, yeah. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers, from robbers. I have faced danger from my own place, from my own people, the Jews as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concerns for all the churches. Light affliction. That stuff was temporary. 39 lashes, same lashes that Jesus took, that ripped the flesh off his back. He did that 5 times. Somebody talking about you ain't much persecution at all. That's not it at all. Your husband won't do what you want them to do. That's not a big complaint. It really isn't. Your wife won't cook and clean and clip your toenails. Clip your own toenails. They nasty and crusty anyway. Those are light afflictions. Those are light afflictions. Notice what wasn't mentioned in that: sickness and disease. He didn't suffer that because Jesus already suffered for us. He already bore that on his body. So it's not, here's the thing, fearless living. You say it's your allergy, it's allergy season. Anybody say that? Let me challenge you, stop saying that. Because it's not your allergies. Your migraine? It's not your migraine. It's your head, but it's not yours to carry. Your sickness, it's not yours. Your arthritis, it's not yours. Shake that mess off. Shake it off. That's not yours to carry. But everybody in my age, I've read where they can get arthritis, and I know this woman who was a mighty woman of God and a mighty man of God. They were men of valor, and they had arthritis, so I feel that it's okay for me to have it since they had it. You won't find that in Scripture. If they had it, they tolerated it. It's not yours to carry. What else do you got that you've been claiming? I don't believe in that name and claim it stuff. You've been claiming it. My depression. It's my hurt, my pain. You've been claiming it, you've been naming it, and you've been claiming it. You've just been doing a negative part of it. Now do the positive. Do what the word says. See, he even says it's okay to do it. It's okay to claim these promises. It's okay to name and claim those promises that Jesus had did for you. But see, we'd rather talk about our sufferings all the time. We rather go around with that tin cup and doing it on the fence. Nobody knows the trouble I see. We rather do that the whole time. Listen, you're naming and claiming something. Name and claim Jesus, the name which is above all names. God cares about you in every possible way, but it is not yours to bear because Jesus has already done it. So let go of it and be fearless in the name of Jesus. Let go of it. Drop it. Let it go. Let it go. It's not yours anymore. Your allergies. It's not your allergies anymore. Anybody suffer with allergies? I don't. Because I'm normal. I'm sorry. No, honestly. Have you? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You all ready to let it go? Just repeat after me. Allergies, be gone in the name of Jesus. You no longer hinder me and stop me from growing forward. Come on. In Jesus' name. See, we get prepared for allergy season. We get the nasal cort and all. What is that? What is it called? What is that stuff you put in? See, I don't put nothing in my nose. I don't even blow my nose. I'll use Q-tips. Plugs my ears up. But it ain't about me. It's about what Jesus did for you. You don't have to go through that. Anybody dealing with heart trouble? Don't be ashamed. Okay, that's good. Arteries are clear. If they're not, be cleared in the name of Jesus. Stop eating all that salt. Jesus became sin that you, so that you might become his righteousness. In John 14, it says this, it's Passion Translation. It says, I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name and I will do it for you. Ask him for anything according to his word and he will do it for you. And yet sometimes we don't ever ask God about anything. We just try to do it ourselves. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. Sometimes we don't ask Jesus for something that is just so small, so minute, or something big in our life. We think that we have to make it happen. You don't. Our labor is in the word. You find out what it says in a word, you speak it, you believe it, and you rest in it. Those angels will bring it to pass. He's done all the work. Our responsibility is to only believe. So what's got you out, down and out? Ask me anything. People get caught up on and I will do the works and I will do the even greater works. That word and is in there for a reason. It's in there for a reason. And they will do even greater miracles. People think, you know, is the greater miracles what you need to focus on. You know, you focus on what Jesus did. He says, you'll do what I do. And you will do even greater works. Both hand in hand. It's not one or the other. Is that just for me? No. That's for each and every person in here. You will do those works and you will do even greater works, even for you, Joe. If you believe in his name, you will do even greater works. What are those greater works? Well, we get to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Jesus didn't. He was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. You get to help build those orphanages. You get to take care of those widows and you get to do a whole lot of things that he never really got to do. But don't forget the works that he did. We follow Jesus by faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We talk by faith. Yeah, believers will battle on whether or not they hear their prayers, that God hears their prayers. We'll battle that. We'll get fixated on that. I don't know if God is hearing me. I don't know God. Why? Because I'm not seeing anything manifest in my life. We say it, we believe it, we receive it by faith, and we just rest in that. You don't go back to it. You don't go back to it. I spoke some things out, what I was believing the Lord for. Just even financially for the church, and said it, believed it, I received it by faith. And you know, later on that day, I was just excited. Why? Because I received what I've asked for. I believe that's coming in. I'm not going to tell you how much I'm believing them for the church, for the church, for the body. But I was just, I couldn't stop smiling. And you don't ever go back on it. And even if that thought comes across your mind, you don't ever go back on it, because the one thing that the enemy wants to do is to get you to say something that's contrary to what you've been believing. Do you believe in the name of Jesus? Everybody believe? Yes, yes, amen, amen. Did Jesus calm the storm? Yeah, yep. Even after waking up to loud voices of his disciples. So if Jesus can calm the storm, can you? Well, you see all these tornadoes coming? Leveling out cities? Don't let it come here. Everybody go into hiding. If you believe in the name of Jesus, you get on out there. I'm going to be out there rebuking the mess out of that. Not in my city. Not in this. It can't. Now, what if every believer understands this? We keep looking at what's going on. Our eyes are fixated on the temporary, not on the eternal. Did Jesus raise the dead? So if Jesus raised the dead, can you? He said, the works that I do, shall you do. The anointing can be used for a whole lot more than just praying over a potluck. And sometimes that needs to be prayed for. I could go there many different ways on that one. It's like, hey, God bless people. We just don't focus on the greater works and just skip over the other works. Jesus needs you doing all that he has done and then some. Fearless living is for those who place their trust in Jesus. So even when you seem to be weak, that's okay. Yield yourself to God. Yield yourself to God and just allow the power of Christ to rest upon you. Paul said in his weakness, this is when he's strong. This is when God is strong. In his weakness, this is when God is strong in his life. When that thorn in the flesh was coming upon him, people think that thorn in the flesh was given to him by God, but the Bible says it's given to him by a messenger of Satan. A messenger of Satan was sent to buffet Paul. That word buffet means to beat, to club. God didn't give him that to humble Paul because of his stuff. You know, if all the revelation that he had came from God, why would God kind of conflict? Well, Paul, I gave you too much knowledge, too much revelation knowledge, so now I'm going to humble you. Wasn't the case. The enemy will do love nothing more than to stop you from what you're doing. Fearless living is for those who place their trust in Jesus. So even when you seem to be weak, yield yourself to God. Understand, you don't need to do it in your own strength. Sometimes when you do it in your own strength, you mess it up for you yourself. You mess it up for the other person. You mess it up for these people down the road. You don't realize the big mess that you can do. I said, just allow God to do it. Just allow God to pray it, believe it, receive it, move on. Rest in that. Rest in that. God will repay. And watch what he does through you. Jesus said, ask him for anything in his name and he will do it. Anything according to his word, he will do it. Ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Now, how are we supposed to come boldly? Doggone, I gave the answer away. How are we supposed to come to God? Boldly. not in shame, not in guilt. He says to boldly come to the throne of grace and ask him. Boldly. You don't have to be ashamed of that. You can keep your cool. Keep your cool in all the circumstances that's going. When you boldly come to the throne of grace, keep your cool with it. Get all anxious. Sometimes that anxiety, see, that's not your anxiety either. It's another one. My anxiety, it gets me every now and then. It's not yours. And you only have anxieties because you're thinking about the future of what hasn't even happened yet. Faith is now. Set your mind on the eternal, not on the temporary, because even what you're thinking about then can change. In Psalms 27:3, it says, though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. One of my mother-in-law's favorite song, Sandy, Surrounded. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It didn't matter what happened to David. His heart was to remain confident in God. Your heart is to remain confident in God. People, you don't ever have to get fearful of anything in your life ever again. You can live fearlessly. Another problem? Great. Let's go. Let's roll. Another opportunity to walk in faith. If you just look at it that way, it's a great opportunity. Some character development, right? It's a great opportunity for you to walk in faith, live by faith. Trust God more. Fearless living is remaining cool, calm, and collected during those trying times in your life, knowing that your Heavenly Father has got this. So don't go around messing up what He's trying to do in someone else's life, including your own. You got to be content with it. Godliness with contentment. It's great wealth. What are you chasing after? If it ain't him, it ain't worth it. Well, I got to put this out because I need more likes on my social media page. And it would get, some people go to the great lengths to get the stuff that helps you to get more likes on your social media page just so you can look and appear as if you're an influencer. If your confidence and trust is in Him, you don't need all that. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, He will exalt us in due season. Don't jump the gun on that. You don't have to jump the gun, because when He exalts you, it's going to be pure. It's going to be holy. It's going to be righteous. It's going to be the way that He intended it, because it's going to bless everybody around you. So we got to learn to be patient at times. You got to wait for that call. There's a season in my life when I was in junior high. I'm not junior high, high school. My junior year in high school, I wasn't getting playing time. Was wanting more playing time, and I went to complain to my brother. My playing time went from 8 minutes a game in varsity game to 4, and I wanted to go play in college and wanted to do all this other stuff. I was like, I need more playing time. Go to my brother. I said, man, I just want to play. He goes, you need to work harder. So after practice, 3 to 5 o'clock, to 5:30 practice, and then from 5:30 to 10 o'clock at night, I was up at the park every single day, even after games, playing. Why? I wanted to play, but I had to be patient. But it didn't mean that I wasn't supposed to work till I got my shot. And then when he put me in that game, it was on and popping. Sometimes we want to rush the gun. We want to rush God and what he's doing, and we don't realize all the stuff that works behind the scenes that needs to go on. And we end up messing it up, forcing stuff. In the message in Matthew 11, it says, when you walk with Jesus, he will teach you the unforced rhythms of grace. I like that version. Matthew 11:28 message. He will teach you the unforced rhythms of grace. You don't have to force it. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to act. You don't have to fake it till you make it. Just allow God to operate in your life right now. Some people don't like this song, the Refiner. I want to be tried by fire. I want to be tried. Purify me. You don't realize what that means? God is taking out all the bad junk in your life, in you, and bringing it out to the surface so it can be gone, so that you're refined as pure gold. So when people are going through that fire, that process, don't laugh at them. Rejoice with them. Why? Because you know what God is doing in their life. That's why some people don't want to come to church anymore. Because we're too busy doing this. And God is working something. He's cutting off dead branches in their life. Give it time. Give it time. They're not there yet. Give it time. They could be putting out a cigarette as soon as they're getting in the church. Walk on in. After I throat punch them, no, I'm just like, no, just kidding. Give it time. Love on them. But part of fearless living is still being able to tell the truth. You know, in every major civilization, great civilization, even Rome. Rome, I mean, people didn't think that Rome was going to fall. But once you go away from God, it's getting ready to fall. And they've researched this throughout history. The last stage of a decaying nation is the openness to the same-sex relationships. That's the last stage of a decaying nation. Because they've basically, God has given them over to a debased mind. So fearless living is standing true on his word. Unbelievers can do whatever it is they want to do. That's how they are, but they don't tell you what to believe. They don't tell you how you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to serve, there's really nothing wrong with it. I said, listen, there is something wrong. You're killing yourself. You know, if God intended that, it'd be population zero. But I'm still going to love you. And when you believe in him, that's when all those impurities begin to come out. You renew your mind with the word of God. See, we can get our bodies fit. But don't forget to get this fit. Because when you feed this with the word of God, it'll help with your spirit too. And when your mind's being renewed, it's going to help you. And then you can help someone else. You won't be living a lie anymore. But the one who started a good work in you will see it through. If God has started something in you years ago, he's going to see it through. Hold on. Just hold on to it. You don't have to bend just because they do. You don't have to believe just because they do. You speak the truth in love. We don't want to be that decaying nation that moves away from the things of God. And if anybody's ever caught up, I mean, if you're ever caught up in that, I'm just, sometimes we think in order, as the world society would tell you, in order to get over a man, you need to get under another one. That's the world. That's not the Bible. I don't know if anybody ever heard that phrase before. Maybe I need to stop watching TV. But when you're coming out of that type of relationship, in the same sex, the best way to, as the way that some try to do, they try to go into another, a different relationship. They go from man to man to man and woman. They think that's going to cover it. Or woman to woman, woman to man. And they think that's going to do it. You come out of there and you're not fully decided in that. You know, you still seek God. Spend that time in between seeking God and his will. His will. And then if he brings somebody along, awesome. If he doesn't, continue to seek him. You're in that gray area, but you're in the right area. You're away from that. Continue to seek him. But when you just jump from one to the other, you're going to be even more confused. He loves you. Anybody awkward yet? We're going to talk about money right now. Fearless living. Being able to love people who are in that and love them out. But here's the thing, like I said, don't try to do it in your own power because you're going to mess it all up. Allow God to do it. You just keep sowing the word and keep watering the word. And God is the one who does what? He gets the increase. Fearless. Esther, fearless. Whew. Ruth, fearless. The mother of all mothers, Mary, fearless. She prompted Jesus' first miracle. He was just chilling, enjoying himself. Why don't you go help them? They ran out of wine. What? Why are you troubling me? Why? Those promises that were told to her and what Jesus would be. He had to get started. Aren't you thankful for some of the mother's promptings and stuff? It's pretty good. Sometimes they know what they're talking about. Most times. Man, we're wrong 100% of the time. I'm sorry. Just kidding. Fearless. Live fearlessly for God. And if you've gotten to that place to where you think God has given up on you, he hasn't. So don't you dare give up on him. He's turning your situation around. Don't you dare give up on God. I don't care what your situation looks like. Paul, of all people, could have said, lying there adrift at sea for a day and a half, what have you. Okay, Lord, I'm not seeing you in this. 5 times, took 39 lashes to the back. It was all for his glory. So whatever you've been holding on to, if it's negatively, blah, 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 blah. If it's negative, let it go. Let it go. Because he wants to do a miracle in your life. Father God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for everything that you have done, Lord. We thank you that we can live fearlessly for you. And Father, if there's any here today, if there's anyone here today that never received Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior, you want to do that today, just raise your hand real quick. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for their hearts. We thank you that whatever they're carrying, Lord, that they leave it here in this place and never pick it up again because you freed them from that. We thank you for the boldness of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives today. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for these mothers whose hearts are for you, Lord. We thank you as they continue to pour into their children and other people around them, their husbands, that you are giving them true rest. We just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.